And now our regular guest Joan Lewis is back to take a look behind the scenes at events here in the Vatican over the past 7 days. So Joan, welcome back. Lovely to have you with us. You've been on a fabulous trip, haven't you, just briefly to Beirut and Iraq.
I spent 8 full days in northern Iraq doing reportage on the situation of Christians, in particular Catholics. I was invited by the Chaldean bishops and stayed at a Chaldean seminary there, a very, very beautiful place, and toured 5 dioceses. We did 1,000 kilometers in 3 days on a 3-day long weekend. And the reality that is Iraq and Lebanon, actually, too, when I did end up spending 5 days there, the reality is like this kaleidoscope of all the different colors. It's colorful, but yet you turn the kaleidoscope and everything gets all mixed up and confused and complex and complicated and ever-changing. The different religions, when you talk to people, you have to find out where they're coming from to understand their answer to your question. So you say, are you Christian or Muslim? If you're Muslim, are you Sunni or Shia? Are you Arab or Kurd? And anybody who's been following even remotely the history, obviously, of the last 10, 15, 20 years of Iraq knows that these are fundamental questions in people in the, obviously, the politics of the land. Christians are being killed, especially in the south in Baghdad and south of Baghdad and in Mosul, because there is, first of all, Christians are associated with the West. They're associated with Western Europe, with the United States, even with the Vatican. So those who want to rid Iraq of Christians, they see them as an enemy, even though, of course, they just want to be good citizens, own their home, send their kids to school, be like anybody else. So it's very, very complex, very volatile, too.
All of this was very much on Pope Benedict's mind,
wasn't it,
as he made that dramatic appeal at the Angelus on Sunday for Christians in Iraq.
He did indeed. He said how pained he was to have learned of the killings. I think it was 8 killings, 8 Christians in Mosul alone. And I did meet and spend some time with the new bishop of Mosul, not in the city of Mosul, but in his diocese. So the Pope said he was very much aware of the violence, of the killings. He deplored that. And, you know, he knows that Christians are a minority. He said he has in the past and with the Angelus urged the government to protect minorities. And he said he's very much aware of the fact that elections, March 7th elections, are the cause on the part of some for an excess of violence and for the killings of Christians. So he asked for, as a pope always will in a situation of conflict, he just asked for dialogue. Bring all your ideas to the table. Protect the human rights of all people, minority and majority. And speaking of protection, the pope also moved to another huge topic, and that is to say Chile, which had that massive 8.8 earthquake. He said, obviously, the Chileans are in his thoughts and prayers. He's close to all those who have suffered in any way or certainly have died. He urged the international community, obviously, as, again, popes do in this type of a situation, urged the international community to come to the aid, you know, bring assistance. Sure. And Caritas, speaking of the Catholic Church, is always right there. And the more I've learned about it, I saw Caritas in action in Lebanon as they take care of Lebanon, being one of the Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria, the transit countries for people who flee, for example, from Iraq and generally try to resettle in the U.S. or Australia. So Caritas, very, very hard at work, to be commended with every word of thanks possible.
Moving on to some other news from the Vatican this week, we've heard about another trip coming up in the not-too-distant future, the Pope due to head to Spain in November.
Yes, kind of a little surprise. We had heard of the invitation probably about 2 weeks before. This was actually announced by the Vatican this week, but the Pope will only be 2 days, but he will go to Santiago de Compostela, and our listeners who know, Spanish know that Santiago refers to St. James and St. James the Greater. And I'm sure everyone knows, maybe they've even gone on the pilgrimage. And apparently you're supposed to, like, walk the last 100 miles or
kilometers. It's one of the most popular pilgrimages, isn't it, anywhere in the world, I believe.
It is indeed. And I know that Santiago is a World Heritage City. And so the Pope will spend one day there, November 6th, and then November 7th he will go to Barcelona to inaugurate a church that has been in the building since 1882. It is not expected to be completed until 2026. The architect, Antonio Gaudi, is, as a matter of fact, his cause for beatification is underway. But this is apparently a privately funded church, and part of it is expected to be open to the public, tours and things like that, in September of this year. So apparently we'll be ready for the Pope when he goes there in November. But ought to be a very interesting trip, only 2 days, but you know, he's going to do two big things. Of course, he'll be back in Spain in 2011 for World Youth Day in Madrid. So this will give him a little...
Just getting a foretaste of what it's going to be like.
My precise words, exactly.
Looking at some other things, not directly papal activities, but some other important meetings here in the Vatican this week. There was a big meeting organized by the Pontifical Council for Migrants and Itinerant Peoples, looking particularly at the plight and the need for pastoral care concerning gypsies, traveling peoples. It was an interesting meeting, wasn't it?
Exactly. The main thing is, I don't know how many of our listeners are in countries that have a gypsy population. Italy has one. We see them all over Rome. They do face tremendous discrimination. Every so often we read in the papers here, obviously, of a gypsy camp being, you know, forced to close because of the conditions they live in. And that was one of the things highlighted in this meeting. The Vatican officials, of course, said that the situation of the gypsy peoples in Europe is strongly marked by marginalization and discrimination, even in their exercise of fundamental human rights, like the right to education, work, housing, and health care. Interestingly enough, there was a comment in one article I did read about this, that to give a wider public a knowledge of the gypsy culture, the Vatican's invited a Hungarian gypsy orchestra to perform in Rome during this period. And also on Wednesday, March 3rd, the national gypsy soccer team played a friendly match against the Swiss Guard team. So, and one of the statistics that came out of this meeting was the fact that there are 36 million Rom in, that's one of the names, they're called Rom, Sinti, Manouche, Kale. So about 36, I think I said Europe, there are 36 million around the world. So we shall see if in the long run the council comes out with a document, what the effect of this might be. And if we didn't say it, the meeting was for all the directors in Europe who handle, among other things, the pastoral ministry of gypsies and, as you said, of people on the move. So a very interesting meeting indeed.
Meanwhile, the head of the Vatican's Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, has been busy this week. He was over in Egypt, in Cairo, for the annual meeting with the Al-Azhar University there, the regular annual dialogue meeting that takes place. And some interesting subjects for discussion there, weren't there, at that encounter?
And actually, I think the Cardinal has gotten a few frequent flyer miles because he was in Granada, Spain, in February for a several-day meeting, and it was a congress sponsored by the Faculty of Theology of Granada entitled Christianity, Islam, and Modernity. And as we air this show, he is in the United States. Another similar vein conference is being held at, I believe it is, the National Cathedral in Washington. But what you mentioned was the later February meeting, and the title's rather long, but it really does focus on the entire theme of what they studied, the phenomenon of confessional violence, understanding the phenomenon and its causes, and proposing solutions with particular reference to the role of religions in the field. So you had the Holy See represented, obviously you had the head of Al-Azhar University in Cairo. It's very interesting, the document that came out, the participants agreed to pay greater attention to the fact that the manipulation of religion for political or other ends can be a source of violence. And then these same leaders, again, Catholic and Muslim, agreed to oppose with determination any act that tends to create tension, division, and conflict in societies. And lastly, and I kind of thought this was rather interesting, the Muslim and Catholic leaders called for steps to be taken to ensure that the preaching of religious leaders, as well as school education and textbooks, do not contain declarations or references to historical events that directly or indirectly may arouse violent reactions among the followers of the different religions, as can happen so often when you have history revisited by someone who is either giving a speech or is writing a text that will eventually become part of a classroom curriculum.
Thank you very much, Jane. We look forward to seeing you at the same time next week.
You will indeed.
Bye-bye. Thanks there to our regular guest, Joan Lewis, bringing us up to date on all that's been happening here in the Vatican over the past 7 days.